Good morning. Welcome to worship, whether you are here in person or worshiping with us on Facebook Live on this gorgeous Sunday morning. It's good to see the sun for a change, and we are blessed to be able to gather together. We do share in communion every week, and if you are with us virtually, I hope that you will have communion elements available to you when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together later in our service. Those here are reminded that our table is open to all, and to please take your cups with you as you leave and dispose of them in the receptacle provided. We continue to lift to God our prayers for the world, especially for the people of Ukraine. We also want to remember Rob Allen, who finally had his surgery on Friday. At least that's what we were told. That was a knee replacement. And Claudia Kopp had some surgery on Friday as well. We also remember Carol and Mary Ellen, Bob and Elizabeth, and all the trials that they face and health concerns. I would, on a personal note, ask for prayers for the family of a dear one, Valerie Parsons, who died suddenly on Tuesday of a heart attack. Val was 59 and was the pastor of Wheeling Island Christian Church. So we want to lift up our prayers for a church family who finds themselves suddenly without a pastor, and for her husband and her daughters, and for all who mourn her death. We also remember all of our mothers that are in our midst, those who have taken on the role of mother, and for all the women who take on that role for all of us in this congregation and in the world. We are blessed to have so many wonderful women in our lives. We do share in our offerings to God by placing our gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors, or by mailing our gifts to the church office. And remember that the work of the church continues 7 days a week, as does the work of God. If you would like to be a greeter for any of the Sundays in May, or if you're able to bake a cake for this Thursday's meal at St. Pat's, please sign the sheet on the bulletin board outside the sanctuary. We are in need of one more cake. We've also received word that St. Pat's will begin inside meals once again in June. So if you are willing to give one evening a month, the second Thursday of the month, to help serve those meals, please let me or Marianne Woodward know, and we'll get you on the list and give you all the details that we find out about, hopefully over the next week or so. And also, yes, it's that time of year again. Despite the rain, it is a time for lawn mowing. And if you are willing and able, there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board as well. If you need a refresher course in instructions for use of the mower, or would like to have those instructions, please see Dick Woodward, and he will be glad to help you learn how to use the tractor. That is one job that this pastor is not willing to undertake. So, sorry. Thank you to everyone who bought baked goods yesterday to help out New Life Ukrainian Baptist Church. I understand that they had a successful sale and had an income of about $2,500, and there's probably still more donations to come in. And so we are blessed to be able to provide the space for them to be able to do that. All of those funds will be going to Ukraine for various and sundry needs that they will need have to have. Just a notice that there will be more substantial food provided next Sunday for those who need an extra bite, rather than just the goodies we normally provide for board meeting after worship next Sunday. Or you are welcome to bring your own lunch. I know that there are some items that will need discussion, and we don't want to interrupt that discussion because of growling stomachs. So just be aware of that. There will also be a donation basket if you want to contribute. All daughters, all women of the church will be honored at fellowship time after worship today with a special cake. Always looks good, as they always do when we get them, and so we are glad to be able to share in that way. And I think that's all the announcements I have. It's been a busy couple of weeks, couple of days actually. So with that, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God on this great day of celebration. This morning comes to us from Psalm 23. I pray that you will hear these words as if hearing them for the first time, even though this psalm is so familiar to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Thanks be to God for these words that come to us this morning. It's always a bit dangerous to preach from a scripture text that is so well known and so beloved as this one is. The Shepherd's Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, has been called a secular icon. It is known by both the churched and the unchurched, at least in part. It's one of those pieces of scripture that when you say, "The Lord is my shepherd," people start to nod their heads or smile or mouth the words. I can't begin to tell you how many bedsides I have been called to and asked to share this particular psalm. I couldn't help but wonder about the great familiarity of this psalm as I was preparing for this sermon and asking myself over and over, why in the world did you choose this text? By the end of the week, as I was getting ready to write my fourth draft of my sermon, because none of the others seemed to fit, I found that I kept getting stuck in that first line, that "I shall not want" part. While I believe with all my heart in the goodness of God, the events of the week, personally and in our country and in our world, brought to the forefront many of my own wants. I want the fighting in Ukraine to stop. I want my own tears to stop falling when I sit and watch the news. I want the daily fears and anxieties about the future for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren, for those who don't look like me or act like me, for all of the females whom I know and I love. I want the worries about this congregation and its future. I want it all to ease. Better yet, to go away. I want to be able to eat all those goodies that I saw yesterday at the Ukrainian bake sale without gaining an ounce. I want. But of course, there's more, much more to this psalm than wanting. I also couldn't help but wonder about this shepherd imagery. I mean, have you ever met a shepherd? I haven't. Oh, I've certainly read stories about them, both modern day and certainly loads of biblical ones. I've seen the movies. But to meet a real shepherd, not that I can think of. Oh, I've passed the sheep farms, or at least where there are flocks of sheep grazing. But there's generally not a human being in sight. Certainly not someone I would look at as a shepherd. Same is true for other flocks, which I guess technically they're still shepherds, no matter what kind of animal they're tending. But the animals I see are usually left to wander about by themselves in a fenced off area, seemingly having a relaxing time in the great outdoors. So what's the draw of this shepherd thing? What does all this talk have to do with me, with us here, now, today, in this city and in this state and in this congregation? Like many of you, shepherds have been part of my biblical understanding since the first time I heard those words of Luke. You remember? And there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Nice, happy image of angels and shepherds that always brings a smile, and the questions that always seem to follow about the proper placement of the shepherds in the nativity scenes that we enjoy. And then there's all the other shepherd imagery throughout Scripture. "I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The God who has been my shepherd all my life, the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep without a shepherd." Just think of all the stained glass windows and Sunday school pictures from our childhood with Jesus either carrying a lamb or walking with a lamb around his shoulders. So apparently, if we want to pay attention to Scripture, and I hope that we do, this imagery must be important to our life of faith. So what is it about this psalm in particular, this Psalm 23? Well, this psalm is often asked for as part of funeral services. I want to suggest that for us, the church, living in this day and this time, we need to hear it first and foremost as being a song about living. For it puts all of our daily activity in a God-centered perspective that can challenge our usual way of thinking. In other words, God is not just out there somewhere or up there somewhere, but God is, in a very real sense, here, now. This is no longer just wonderful poetry or simply a claim for individual assurance, but it directs us to take our place with others in the household of God. As shepherd, God does what God is supposed to do: provide life and security to the sheep. He keeps the psalmist alive, restores my soul, provides food and drink. Danger is avoided, shelter is attained. Even in the most life-threatening situations, God's providence is sufficient. It is the faith of a child whose fears can be calmed simply by holding the hand of a parent. It is the reality of childish fear in a dark room with monsters under the bed, and yet the comfort that comes when a loved parent simply enters the room. It is the presence of one who is trusted that brings comfort and dispels fear. And yet, there will still be monsters under the bed tomorrow night and the next night. It may take a long time for the darkness to be no threat at all, and yet as long as you are with me, there is comfort amid all the hard realities of life and even in our simple wants. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, chose to make his identity manifest to the world in his death and resurrection. The shepherd psalm, seen in the light of the resurrection, the way that we all look at it, calls the church to live out its life according to the model of community envisioned here by Jesus, grounded in mutuality of love and embodied in the relationship of Jesus and God. Put another way, if Jesus serves as the host and shepherd in our beloved psalm and invites us to eat as individuals and as community, then we must be ready to respond. Respond that indeed God is with us. Respond that God is not ours to own. Respond that the God who shepherds us to live also gives life to the whole world. Respond that the table at which we are hosted is one to which the whole world is invited. And it isn't just for the future, it's for today, for our whole life long, every day. When we realize we aren't our own, that we belong to God and to one another, we learn God is a source of all food, drink, and security because we belong first and forever to God's household. And indeed, our lives are transformed. And this psalm becomes for us a radical affirmation of faith that can transform lives and the world. The church is the shepherd's flock. We know who's missing in this flock. We know when one in the flock hurts, we all hurt. When a wolf is in the midst of the flock, however that wolf appears, we all are in danger. We all suffer, and we all must stand firmly against the threat and protect the most vulnerable sheep among us in the love of the Good Shepherd who calls us into being. Acknowledging that God is the only necessity of life, the only want, we are called to live humbly and gratefully as children of God. And with childlike trust, we are reminded that to be a child at home is to be part of a family and to share with the community of faith around the table that is prepared for us, even as we prepare to go out and to serve as we have been anointed to do. This psalm is an invitation to live under God's rule and in solidarity with God's children, all God's children. May we hear it with new ears and may we follow. Thanks be to God. Amen.